And if you'd like to keep your Bibles open, we're going to look, as I said, at Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to be considering what is referred to as the armour of God. That's how this section is titled in the Bible I have here, the whole armour of God. And what becomes clear as we read this passage of Scripture, what becomes absolutely clear is that there is a war going on. There is a battle going on. And even if we don't realize it, even if we've never thought about it in the past, we are, you and I, we are part of that battle. And the question I want to ask before we go any further is, do you know which side of that battle you are on? Do you know which side of that battle you are fighting for this evening? For those of you who are here this morning, we heard about Saul, didn't we? Saul and the way that he, although he didn't realize it, was an enemy of God, and something had to change in his life. He thought he was okay, he thought he was fine, he thought that he was in a relationship with God, but he wasn't. And he needed to repent, he needed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he needed to be saved. And as I say, that is what I want every one of us to ask ourselves tonight, is what side of the battle am I on? Am I still kidding myself? Because we are each on one side or the other. When we were born, we became part of this battle. And what the Bible tells us is that as we are, in our own nature, in our own worth, we are on the side of darkness. We are not naturally one of God's people. And something needs to change. We need to trust in Jesus. We need to put our faith in him. But once we do trust in him, then we become part of God's people. We are now fighting for God, for his glory. We've changed sides in this battle, and like in any war, we need to be prepared. And so, at the end of this letter to the Ephesians, Paul says, if you want to keep going until the end, if you want to battle on, you need to prepare yourself. You need to take on this armor that God has provided for you. And as we go through this armor, I want us to ask ourselves, how can we apply this to our own lives? I'll suggest some things, how we are meant to put on each of these parts of the armor. But I want us to ask ourselves, how? How am I going to make this real for myself? How am I going to defend myself through the power of God? Because we need to be ready, don't we? If we're going to take part in a war, we need to be ready, or we won't last 2 minutes. I don't know how many of you are aware of there are many computer games nowadays where you actually go around and you sort of shoot other people. That's the point of the game, is you're meant to try and shoot as many other people as you can without getting shot yourself. And my brother's got one of these games. I played with him and he kept on killing me over and over again. I wasn't alive for longer than sort of 30 seconds. Why? Because he knew how the game worked. He knew how to stay alive. And that is what Paul is telling us here. How are you going to stay alive? How are you going to keep going? How are you going to stay strong in the Lord in the face of everything and anything that the devil can throw your way? And the first thing that Paul speaks of is a belt, isn't it? That is the first part of the armor. Maybe it's not the likeliest place that you would think of starting, but that is where Paul takes us. He says, put on the belt of truth. That's the first part, a belt of truth. What is the job of a belt? What does a belt do? Oh, for those of you who are like me wearing a belt is meant to keep your clothing where it is meant to be, isn't it? That's the job of a belt. It stops your, well, in my case, stops my trousers from falling down. In this time, it would have kept people's robes from flowing and billowing all over the place and tripping them up. It was meant to keep your clothing in check, keeping everything where it was meant to be. And the same is true for this belt, the belt of truth. It keeps things where they are meant to be. It keeps wrong ideas and misconceptions and misunderstandings of God's word. It keeps those things from tripping us up. It keeps us from falling over lies and untruths. And we are meant to surround ourselves with the truth, the belt of truth, the truth about Jesus, the truth about who he is, about his person, the fact that he is God and he is man, about his perfect life. We're meant to surround ourselves with that truth about who he was and how he lived and what he did for us on the cross and how that applies to our lives. We're meant to learn about him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Be surrounded by Jesus. We're meant to read about him as much as we can. Get to know him as we read our Bible and the way that God has revealed himself to us. We're meant to read books that'll help us understand the truth and how these different truths in the Bible fit and work with one another. We are to discuss the truth with other people and get their viewpoint and as iron sharpens iron, become sharper with them. This is going to stop us from tripping up. This is going to stop us from making mistakes and kidding ourselves. But the belt also has another job, doesn't it? A belt also is used, particularly in this time for a soldier, it is used to hang other things off it. That was the starting point, the belt, and then you would hang other things off the belt. And this belt of truth works exactly the same way. You see, if we don't know the truth, if we don't have the truth, then nothing else is going to build on that properly. Nothing else is going to sit properly. If you don't know the truth, then you have nothing, do you? You cannot be certain of anything. Do we make sure that we have the truth? Do we make sure that those things that we believe, even if we've been sure of them for years and years and years, are we sure that is really what the Bible teaches? Do we go back and check our beliefs against what God's word says? Or are we kidding ourselves? The next item in this armour that God has given us is a breastplate of righteousness. Now, what does a breastplate do? Well, it protects, doesn't it? It protects the body. It protects the front and the back of our torsos. It protects our vital organs. That's the job of a breastplate. And we're told by Paul that the thing that we are to use as a breastplate, the thing which is going to protect our lives, our vital organs, is righteousness. It is purity. It is perfection. It is goodness. Now, so you're thinking, well, hold on, how does that work? How can that happen? I'm not righteous. I'm not perfect. If my righteousness was a real breastplate, there'd be so many holes in it, it'd be good for nothing. It'd be falling apart. It'd be so filled with gaps and chinks in my armour. And the truth is that this righteousness, this breastplate of righteousness that covers us, it is not our own righteousness. It is not our own goodness. It is the righteousness, as we heard this morning, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life, the life that we could not live. And through his sacrifice and through faith in his sacrifice, we receive his righteousness. When God looks at us, he sees Christ's righteousness. And so, now we are covered by Christ. When attacks come our way, and we feel as if we can't go on, we know that we are protected not by my own life, not by how I've lived, no. but by Christ. That is what protects us. That is what keeps us safe. And I want to tell you, do not take this breastplate off. You may be tempted at some point to take it off, to think, well, I don't need it anymore. I've been wearing it for a while now. I have been depending on Christ's righteousness for years now. I think I'm probably okay now. I'm probably safe. I can manage on my own. No. Do not kid yourself. Never take it off. Because as soon as you do, you're as good as dead. As soon as you start depending on your own righteousness, it is over. The next item in this armory is the shoes of the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Shoes of the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Have you ever tried to do something without the right shoes on? Have you ever tried to climb a mountain wearing flip-flops? Have you ever tried to drive a car wearing flippers? It's ridiculous, isn't it? You can't do it. You need the right kind of shoes or your feet slip around the place, don't they? Without the right shoes on our feet, we lose our footing. And the kind of shoes that God has given us to wear, the kind of shoes that Paul tells us to put on here, are shoes of the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Readiness to go out and proclaim God's word to other people. These are solid, firm walking boots, aren't they? They are shoes which encourage us to go and tell other people the good news, the gospel of peace, that the Lord Jesus Christ has loved them and died for them. These are shoes which always look for opportunities to tell other people, to share with them what has happened in your own life. And because we have this peace, because we know that forgiveness, that peace that comes from knowing God, we are willing to go anywhere, to suffer anything, to go to the most difficult places in order to share it with us, others, to tell them about this good news. Now, why is this so important? It seems, doesn't it, like a strange thing to include in this armour of God. But it is essential. These shoes are essential, and they are essential for two reasons, I think. First of all, it shows that we ourselves have recognised the importance of the gospel. If we don't want to tell other people about the gospel, if we don't see the value of the gospel, how wonderful, how great the Lord Jesus Christ is, if we don't see that for ourselves, then if we don't see how important it is to share with others, then really we haven't seen it for ourselves, have we? But there's another reason why it is so important. Why Paul encourages us to share with other people. Have you had that experience of telling other people about something that's important to you? Have you had that experience of trying to persuade somebody about something that you love? For me, my favourite book is The Lord of the Rings. And I will talk to anybody who is willing to listen about The Lord of the Rings for hours. I love it. I love that book. I love everything about it. The characters, the stories, the songs, the poetry, everything. And as I speak to other people, if I find someone who's willing to talk with me about Lord of the Rings, as I tell them why I love this book so much, I'm reminding myself. And as I tell them about it, I actually grow to love it even more. Do you see the point here? As we go and we tell other people and explain to them and show them what Jesus has done for them, we are reminded ourselves of his beauty, of his value. We grow to love him ourselves even more than we already did. Put on the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace. Next, we come to the shield of faith. Now, we all know what a shield does, doesn't it? It protects us. And Paul gives us an example of the kind of attacks that we are going to face, doesn't he? Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, all the flaming arrows that the devil is going to shoot our way. You see, like fiery arrows, the devil is going to send temptations our way. He's going to be targeting those areas where he thinks that we are weak. And if that arrow, that flaming, fiery arrow, gets hold of us, then it will cause us damage. It will hurt us. It will be painful. So we are meant to defend ourselves from these flaming arrows sent by the devil. And what Paul tells us to do is to raise up our shield of faith. Faith in what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. So when the devil tries to tempt us to do something wrong, when he is saying, go on, just one more time, do that thing that you've been longing to do, give in to this temptation, it's not that terrible a sin, no one will know. When those temptations come our way, we can raise up our shield of faith and say, no, I do not need to do that thing. I do not need to give in to that temptation. Why? Because of what Christ has done for me. I'm free from sin. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. I am free. I have faith. And so I do not need to give in. Or, in those times when the devil sends arrows of doubt at us, and he makes us doubt ourselves, when he points out and whispers in our ears, remember that thing that you have done? Remember the way that you treated that person? Remember the way you spoke to her? Remember that thing that you watched? Remember that thing that you've been thinking about so much? God can't forgive you for that. Oh, you've done that time and time again. You're not a real Christian. God can't forgive you for that. You've blown it now. Again, we raise up our shield of faith. We put that shield up and we say, no, I do not need to listen to your accusations. I do not need to listen to these doubts. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for me. It is not what I do. It is not my life that saves me. It is not whether or not I succeed that saves me. It is that Christ has succeeded. And this shield of faith, it becomes more effective, doesn't it, when we are with other Christians. I don't know if any of you used to read the Asterix comics. I used to like them when I was younger. And in that we see, time and time again, you see the Roman soldiers gathering together with their shields and putting them into, well, all sorts of crazy shapes in what is known as a phalanx, where they interlock their shields with one another in order to create an impenetrable wall, a defensive shield against attack. And the same is true of our shield, isn't it? This shield of faith. As we come with other Christians, as we spend time with them, as we raise up our shields of faith together, we in fact strengthen one another and encourage one another in our faith. We make our shields stronger when we are together facing attacks. The next item that Paul speaks of is a helmet of salvation. And again, we all know what a helmet does, don't we? It protects the head, doesn't it? It is to protect our head. And what is in the head? Well, for most of us, a brain. It is that essential part of the body to keep us alive. And so this helmet protects our mind. It protects our thoughts. And that's exactly the point of this helmet of salvation, of being saved, given by God. See, there's always the risk, isn't there, in this battle, as we face blows to our bodies as we face these fiery arrows of the devil, there's always that risk that at some point we're gonna give up. We're gonna start thinking to ourselves, well, is it worth it? There's no point in me carrying on. I can't take it anymore. Is it worth it? It feels as though I'm missing out on what the world has got to offer. It feels as like it's such a struggle. Maybe I should just give in. Is it worth it? And it's in times like these that we remind ourselves, we put on this helm of our salvation. We focus our eyes not on the battle, the here and now. We focus our eyes on our salvation, on what awaits us at the end of this battle, of this salvation which is secure, which we cannot lose it. It cannot be taken away from us. No one can separate us from the love of God which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are safe. We are saved. It is worth it. We think ahead of that reward which is waiting for us, when we will inherit a new heaven and a new earth, when we will see the Lord Jesus Christ, when he will welcome us into his kingdom and say to us, good and faithful servant, come into this feast that I've prepared for you. It is worth it. Remind yourselves, it is worth it. Being with the Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God forever. The final part of this armor illustration that Paul is using is the sword of the Spirit. And this is the only offensive weapon that Paul speaks of. The only offensive weapon that we are given by God. But this weapon, we need no other weapon, do we? This weapon is more powerful than any atomic bomb. This weapon can change the world in a way that no other weapon can. It is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It is the sword that the Spirit uses. The Word of God, the revelation of God himself. If you want to be a good sword fighter, what do you have to do? If you want to be able to use a sword effectively, what do you need to do? Well, like the musketeers, you need to practice, don't you? Every day, you can't neglect practicing or you will be no good at all. And the same is true with this sword. We need to practice. If we are to be good at handling this sword, effective at using this weapon, in countering the devil's attacks, and in attacking the sin of this world, we need to practice. How are we to practice? We are to read it regularly. God speaks to us through his word, and so we are meant to read it and we are meant to apply it. We are meant to learn how to apply it to our lives. How this word is relevant to us today, and parts of it are easier to understand than others. We all know that. Parts of the Bible are easiest for us to read and see, okay, I can see how this affects me. And so if we are to become real sword fighters, really effective with this sword, we need to learn and read and listen to people explain to us how we are to understand those difficult passages and how they are meant to change our lives, how they are meant to make us better servants of God. And then when people come and attack the truth, when they attack the church, when they attack us and our beliefs and our faith, we can counter them. We can answer them as the Lord Jesus Christ himself did when he was in the wilderness facing the temptations of the devil, being attacked. How did he respond? He responded with the word of God, didn't he? We will have an answer to give. After giving us this wonderful, this masterful illustration, Paul now speaks of something else, doesn't he? something which is absolutely essential. And although it isn't really part of the illustration, it's not part of the armor itself, this thing is actually a foundation to it all. It is the way that we will receive all of these things. It is through prayer. We are meant to pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And it just sounds too much for us, doesn't it? It sounds so difficult that we are meant to pray in this way. But you see, we have to pray in this way, don't we? We have to show in our prayer lives that we are completely and utterly dependent on God. To show that we cannot do anything without Him. This is what the whole armor shows us, is that we cannot protect ourselves. We cannot defend ourselves. We cannot attack under our own strength. No, we need to pray. We need to ask God to bless us. Ask Him to show us the truth. Ask Him to give us Christ's righteousness. Ask Him to give us a shield of strong faith and a helmet of assured salvation, to give us a mastery of this word, to give us shoes that are ready to go and share with other people. We need to pray for these things. They will not come. They will not come naturally. They will not come from our own willpower. No. We need to pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Live our lives in a spirit of prayer constantly. Not just finding those 10 minutes or 20 minutes a day when you are quiet in your room with God. No. No, to be constantly at all times when something irritates you in the office, that even at that point, as you're dealing with it, that you are praying, God help me here. When you are speaking to somebody and telling them the good news, that you are praying, Lord, open this person's heart. When those temptations are coming, that you're not sort of struggling in your own ability, but you are praying constantly. And not just for ourselves. We do not pray just for our own needs, do we? We make supplication. We pray for all the saints. We remember God's people. We pray for one another. That in all situations, in all difficulties, under all attack, that we, God's people, would remain strong until the end. For His glory. Amen.